This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Here comes the budget.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today, President Bush unveils his $3 trillion spending plan for next fiscal year. Bush wants to cut $200 billion from Medicare and Medicaid. And he's calling for a near freeze on discretionary spending for transportation and education. But there's one area where he wants to inject more money. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
The president's budget calls for a 19% increase in spending on border security and immigration enforcement. The $12.1 billion would go to construct more border fencing, hire more Border Patrol agents, and conduct more raids on businesses that hire illegal immigrants.
It's less about the budget and the economy and far more about the election.
That's Stan Collender, a private budget analyst in Washington, D.C.
It's clearly designed to help Republicans running for election. Border control and immigration are big issues in the base of the party, and the president really hasn't done that well with those folks.
Collender says there's little chance a Democratic Congress would gut Medicare and Medicaid to pay for an immigration crackdown. Bush's budget forecasts a $400 billion deficit over the next 2 years, and that doesn't include a proposed $150 billion economic stimulus package. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It'll be tough for Wall Street to top last week. The Dow and the S&P 500 had their best weekly gains in almost 5 years, close to 5%. The Dow starts from about 12,743. The S&P 500 is at 1,395. The Nasdaq begins the week at 2,413. It gained about 4% last week. Big gains in Asia today. The Chinese stock market shot up 8%, 3 to 4% gains elsewhere. European shares are up a fraction so far. One of China's major highways reopened today. It's been shut down because of these blizzards and ice storms lately. The weather has really turned into a big economic problem for China. Bill Marcus reports from Shanghai.
Millions can't get home or get warm. Some are calling it China's Katrina, and it couldn't have hit at a worse time. The World Bank today slashed China's growth forecast for the year by 1.2 percentage points because of the global slowdown in demand. Citigroup cut earnings estimates for Chinese power producers by as much as 44%. AME Minerals Economics coal analyst Graham Wells says the coal shortage alone may trigger higher prices for American consumers.
Higher prices for coal translate into higher energy costs, which in turn can transfer into higher manufacturing costs. China's basically the manufacturing center of the world. I mean, there will be some modest impact.
Coal exports were halted so fast that some ships out to sea with loaded cargoes were ordered to turn around and come home. And several plants are 3 days from running out. Milder weather is expected this week. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
The day after the Super Bowl, advertisers have to ask themselves, was it really worth $2 million? For some companies, it's probably a yes. Ads from Super Bowl newcomers Cars.com and Bridgestone were well-received. Also getting good reviews, the Charlie Brown Coke ad, Tide's Talking Stain commercial, and E-Trade's Talking Baby.
A lot of people are like, aren't you too young to invest in the markets? And, you know, A, don't worry about it. You know, I just look young. I mean, you don't know how old I am. And B, I use E-Trade, so check it. Click. I just bought stock. You just saw me buy stuff.
The baby then, of course, spits up.
I mean, you know.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic. celebrating National Heart Month by encouraging women to reduce their risk of heart disease. More at GoRedForWomen.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Let's be honest, bond insurance sounds boring. And until recently, bond insurers liked it that way. They just collected their premiums and nothing much happened. But companies like MBIA and AmBac got restless. And now we're hearing how awful their downfall could be for the markets. I, for one, would like to understand this a little better. Good thing Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine is here. Alan, let's start with a very basic question. Why do bonds need insurance in the first place?
Well, bonds need insurance if the people buying them have some thought the issuer isn't going to be able to pay all the interest and repay the principal when it's due. Let's say you've got something called Sloan Town Sewage that's selling bonds, okay? People look at it and they say sewage and they say yuck. And they're not sure Sloan Town Sewage can pay. Sloan Town goes off to MBIA and MBIA says, well, if Sloan Town can't pay, we'll make the interest and principal payments as they're due. So you don't have to worry about Sloan Town. And since we at MBIA have a AAA credit rate, you know, you don't have to worry about us. So buy the bond, go to sleep, all will be well.
Now, what has happened in the last few months that these bond insurance companies felt they couldn't maintain their level of profit in the bond insurance business and decided to get into junk mortgages and such?
Right. Several years ago, these companies, MBIA and AmBac, said, we need to grow more quickly, and we're really experts in figuring out credit risk. So instead of confining ourselves to mutual bonds, which are enough to make anybody fall asleep, we'll do other things. And we can make a lot of money and grow real quickly, and the risk is very low, so we'll insure these people.
But this is all about bonds. Why is the stock market so concerned with this issue?
Because it's something to worry about. And stocks and bonds, even though they're separate markets, I mean, money is money, and the financial system is the financial system. If you thought that the financial system was going to destabilize and things were going to bomb, you'd probably not want to be in the stock market either. You'd want to be in the storm cellar as deep as you could get with the doors closed over your head. I mean, there's a reason to be concerned, but I don't think I would despair of the world just yet.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks for the education.
You're welcome, Mr. Jagow, sir.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.